Our scripture today comes from the book of Deuteronomy, because when you think of excitement, you think of Deuteronomy. So I thought this would be an exciting passage for us. Let's read now out of God's book. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly and fill the land in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The word of the Lord. This passage, or at least a section of this passage in Deuteronomy 6, is probably the most famous passage in the Old Testament for Jews. Now, it's kind of like most of you know by heart John 3:16, right? Say it. What does John 3:16 say? Most Christians have it memorized, right? Every single Jewish boy and girl would have memorized this portion of Scripture, and specifically in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, because this is known as the Shema. Okay, the Shema, the word itself, is the first word of the verse in Hebrew, and it means hear, listen. It's a command for Israel to listen to what God is about to say to them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You know that I took a year of Hebrew, and the only thing I remember is the song we learned of this verse. Everything else has flitted out of my brain, but I still remember this verse in Hebrew. I'm not going to do it for you. But that's how important this verse is. That's how important this scripture was to the Jewish people. It was incredibly important. Everyone would have known it. They would have sung it to the same tune that I learned it in my Hebrew class, and they still sing it to this day. And it's even mentioned in the New Testament multiple times. Here's a passage out of Matthew. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. How many of you thought Jesus made that up? Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't think Jesus made that up. He's quoting Deuteronomy, right? He does add something to it, but that's not even his. There was rabbis who had added the second commandment that is like it, and the second, that this is the greatest and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was something many rabbis taught and said as a good second commandment. And he says, on all of this, on these two commandments, hang all the law and all the prophets. So this is a summary of all of God's commandments. If you seek to do these two things, and really the second commandment is, well, the reason why I said it's like the first is because if you're doing the first, are you going to be doing the second? Yes. And so Jesus is saying it all can really be summed up in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And yet Jesus also warns against a false way of practicing this. Notice in the passage as we read it, it said that you were to bind these on your arm. You were to bind them in the frontlets of your head, right? Okay, and so this was a practice that rose up within a Jewish custom. It's still practiced today among various Jewish sects, and it's not a bad thing at all. And it's a practice where they would actually put rolled up pieces of scripture, and they would bind this in various different kinds of boxes around their arms and on their forehead. They were called phylacteries. Just one passage, one chapter, after Jesus mentions that the greatest commandment is to love your Lord your God, he quotes the Shema. He then condemns the Pharisees for falsely practicing something, not for the purpose of honoring and glorifying God and remembering God, but for what? For their own glory. He says this, he says, they do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. So it is important the people of Israel would love God, follow his commands and his decrees, remember all that he did for him, to make his word central and important in their lives. And yet there was a sense of showiness that would happen occasionally among his people, and Jesus called them out for it. That if you're not doing it for the right reasons, if you're not doing it with the right heart, then it isn't actually in obedience to the Father. We got to be careful. We have to be careful, like the people of Israel, to not lose sight of the things that God has done for us. Now notice that the real essence of all of this is a remembrance for gratitude. God tells them at the end of the passage in Deuteronomy 6 that they are to remember all that he has done for them, but he also says to them, not only all that he has done for them in the past, like the Exodus, but he reminds them all that he's going to do for them in the future as they go into the promised land. And he reminds them that all the houses they're going to find and the cities that are going to be built there and the olive groves and the vineyards, who made all those things? Not Israel. And yet Israel would move into the land and take over those things, and they would be enjoying those things because of God's promise to them. How long do you think that lasted for the people of Israel? Well, if you remember the story of the Exodus, they got through, God parted the waters. They walked through on dry ground. They stepped foot on the other side, and what did they start doing? Complaining. Yeah. And when I read that story, I go, oh, dang it, I just complained like before reading the scripture. We are so much like Israel, and so when we read of their follies, when we read of their foolishness or things that they did throughout their history with God, they are simply standing in for our place, and we can look at the things that they do and recognize we do them daily. And so this idea that God is reminding them to be grateful for all that God has done for them, to recognize that they have no blessing in their life except that which God has blessed them with, and to leave themselves with that sense and that attitude of gratitude, that they would praise the Lord for everything in their lives. In our lives, we have the same kind of call. We are called to look back and to reflect on all the ways that God has moved us and has blessed us and has worked in our family histories to bring us to be the people that we are, and we're to be grateful for that. Some of us, it's harder than others. Some of us can look back and we've had struggles, we've had difficult family situations, and we look at that and we think, God, why did you bring me through those things? And yet we're still called to praise God and to bless God because those things made us to be the people we are today as we endured through them. God has blessed us in all that we do, and our call is to obediently follow in his footsteps in faith so that we might honor him for generations to come. Now notice this is incredibly important in this passage. I think that this is like the family ministry passage of all of the Old Testament, actually maybe all of the Bible, because it's here in this passage that God says, for your Sunday, for your church, you shall set up Sunday schools, and you shall do youth programs, and you shall have hire pastors, and those pastors are to teach your children about the faith. Is that what it says? What's it say? It says, when you are going out, or when you're coming in, when you're standing up or when you're sitting down, whatever you situation you may find yourself in, whatever you might be doing, remind and teach your children about what God has done in your family, about what God has done for you. It's on the family to teach the children. Now, that doesn't mean that the church isn't a part of that, because we are a family, right? We set up the programs that we do within our church to help you mentor and love and guide your kids in the faith, because we are all a part of this responsibility. And yet you are the deepest part called to recite, to remember what God has faithfully done for you to your children, so that they would grow knowing how much God loves them, and that they would honor and love God in return for their whole lives. So we do this as a remembrance of God. We turn to Him. We try to seek to know what His will is as a family, so that we would follow in obedience to Him. This is incredibly important, that we look back so that we could move forward. Because if we don't remember where we've been, if we don't remember where God has brought us and how God has brought us through all that we've been through, and if we don't remember the things of our history and how God has worked in our ancestors, then we forget the goodness of God in our lives right now. And so we don't look back so that we can get stuck in old ways, or so that we can say, well, we've never done it like that before. No, that's not the reason we look back. We look back for fuel to remind us of the attitude of gratitude we're to have moving forward. And that's the essence of this table. When we come once a month and we take communion together, we are sharing in a remembrance of God's goodness to us. That He didn't leave us in a situation where we were on our own to kind of figure things out, but no, He became one of us. He lived a life teaching us exactly what it means to be human, exactly what it means to obey God. And then for His troubles, we put Him on a cross. And He died for our rebellion in our place. And He gave us this meal so that we would remember Him and remember His acts until He'll come again. We come to this table trusting in God as our Savior, and we welcome anyone who wants to place their life in Jesus as their Savior to come to this table and enjoy this meal together.